Sunday morning to you. It's Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. So Chicago is famously a city of neighborhoods, 77 of them formerly, more than 200 in subjective, ever-changing fact. But what does that actually mean? Well, there's a new book out there called the Chicago Neighborhood Guidebook, which aims to explore community history and identity in a global society through essays, poems, photo essays, and art, articulating the lived experience of its residents. And to share some of these fascinating stories, author Martha Bain joins us in the studio. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
This is not your typical guidebook. These are collective stories about places people live and the way they live and how these neighborhoods evolved over the years.
Yes, it's a little bit of a bait and switch. And so I hope that people will forgive me for that, because it's really not a prescriptive book in any sense that's telling you where to go or what to eat or like fun things to do in the city necessarily. But you might pick up some ideas.
You put up an open call for submissions who were really connected to these neighborhoods. So you really wanted to talk to the people that actually live in the places we were discussing.
Yes, I did. I did several rounds of open calls and outreach to try and really get as broad a swath of contributors as possible. I actually wound up pushing the pub date of the book back 6 months.
For that reason.
For that very reason, yeah.
So how did you pick, so you're going through all these people, they're all giving you their ideas about the neighborhoods. How did you go through methodically and pick these stories and the people that told them?
I don't know if I can say that I went through them methodically, but it's not really something that's systematic. For me, it was, I think as an editor, I tried to take a real hands-off approach to how the book was going to come together. It did get pushed back a little bit, and that's partly because it kept kind of shape-shifting as I was working on it. I think originally I had a thought that it would be a little bit more traditional, and then when I started getting submissions in, it became quickly clear to me that this was not going to come together as a traditional guidebook by any stretch.
You really kind of looked at the global picture of all this, too. You said under Rahm, Northside saw some evolution and changes to the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Southside, of course, not so much.
Yeah. I mean, the book definitely reflects kind of the current moment in Chicago, I think. Obviously, we're in a different administration now, but we've just come out of 8 years of the Emanuel administration. And the effect of that on Chicago neighborhoods has been indisputable. I mean, there's new development all over the place. There's schools closed and disinvestment in other neighborhoods. It's very clear which neighborhoods get which. And so I think that that comes through in the book.
How does that compare to what we lived through with the Daley administration for so long?
I think, I'm scared to speak directly to the difference between Daley and Rahm, but
in regards to our neighborhoods.
Yeah, I feel like I don't want to put a rosy glow on the Daley administration, but I did feel like Daley was more of a mayor for the whole city. Obviously, there was a great deal of disinvestment happening on the South and West sides over the last 30 years, 40 years, since the manufacturing base kind of really fell out. And as we've seen budget cuts and everything going to all sorts of city services and people leaving. So that's been going on for a really long time, regardless of who the mayor is. But I feel like this accelerated push for development in the Loop and the Near North Side was really just got to be at like whiplash speed under Rahm.
What I really loved about this book, Martha, is that, again, you could pick it up and think it's a very touristy book. You're going to find out the best hot dog, the best deep dish pizza. That's what fascinated me about it, was the stories behind it and the people that live there. And I feel like I really learned something about each neighborhood that I walked away with more than I ever would have expected.
No, that's great to hear, really. I feel, it's hard working with personal essays because on the one hand, you don't want one person's experience to stand in for the totality of the whole. I had to be kind of careful about that. And I had to make some choices that I'm still a little, not necessarily, I don't want to say I'm uncomfortable with them, but like, for example, the piece about Englewood is an interview with Tamar Manasseh, who is the founder of a group called MASC, Mothers Against Senseless Killing. And I really kind of thought long and hard about whether I wanted a piece about gun violence to be the one piece
the defining
representing
moment, right.
Englewood in the book.
Yeah.
That seemed a little, you know, certainly wasn't pushing against the count, the popular narrative of what Englewood is all about. But she's also a really amazing figure who's doing amazing work in the city. And I thought that she deserved a platform. So
the book's first essay, Austin and Division, written by a Dominican University English student and a third generation Chicagoan, helped to ground the book in an awareness of how geographically our city is shaped.
Yeah, I love that piece. So her name's Shayna Warfield, and she's a young writer. She just read at an event we did at Mars Brewing in Bridgeport last week, and it was great. And that piece is so wonderful because she really talks about growing up in Austin and not knowing as a child kind of the invisible color lines that defined her neighborhood until she went to Oak Park. And all of a sudden discovered how different things were in Oak Park, and that the houses were bigger and there were white people there and the streets were cleaner and all of these things that really, you know, was a painful education for her growing up on the West Side.
You break down the book by what we all refer to, North Side, Southeast Side. Let's touch the West Side a little bit. Talk about the Little Village neighborhood. Just give people a taste.
The Little Village piece is actually three pieces because it's a collection. It's three pieces written by young, very young writers and media makers who are affiliated with Yolo Kali, which is an arts and media nonprofit, youth media nonprofit that's part of the National Museum of Mexican Art. They've been operating in Little Village for quite a while. They do amazing work. They teach radio production. They teach writing.
No,
they teach all sorts of other things. And so the contributors from that their pieces are edited down from work that they did as part of their work with Yolo Kali. And I'm just going to look for a second because it's called Your Story, Your Way is the name of the program that they're all in. And they're all teenagers. So they're the youngest contributors in the book. They're great. Their pieces talk about gentrification. They talk about kind of cultural identity. They talk about just getting to know your neighbors. One of them is about just getting to know like the white artist who moved into the neighborhood and kind of bridging the gap between this young Latinx girl and her white artist neighbor.
Well, you talk about the people too in this book. Artist Rebecca Wolfram put together her own little museum. I found that very fascinating.
Yeah. I've actually not seen the museum, so I can't really speak to that, but it sounded really fast, like a little piece of idiosyncratic public art that she's got going on in Little Village. Little Village is huge.
Yeah.
You know, again, Little Village is, along with Austin, is one of the largest community areas in Chicago. So, in this case, I decided to have three people speak for it.
I like that. You ask great questions in this book, too, like kind of about what they love about their neighborhood. You get to hear a little bit about that. But they also talk about what's missing, what they wish they had.
Yeah. I mean, there's a great sense of nostalgia and loss that goes through that I think is inevitable when you're talking about place and you're talking about neighborhoods and cities that are constantly changing. But yes, this feeling of like what's missing, what do other neighborhoods have that we don't have? I don't want the book to be maudlin, but I didn't want it to put like a shiny face on the massive disparity between what's available in different neighborhoods in Chicago.
Humboald Park, the queen of the tunnels.
A great piece.
Yeah, I love that one. 60 miles of tunnel throughout the city, the underground that people might not even know exists.
Yeah, and then Lily B, who is a storyteller, and this is actually, she's a very well-known storyteller in Chicago. She runs a series called The Stoop that is at Rose's Lounge, where we're doing an event at Rose's Lounge in a couple weeks on October 9th, and Lily will be reading at that. But this is actually the first time she's been published.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah. And she had the pieces about her fantasizing about becoming a superhero and living in the tunnels underneath Chicago.
Which I love. It's a great use of the facts with something fun.
Yeah,
you know, right?
That's a fun story.
As we venture into the far southwest side, talking about Mount Greenwood, it is the poster child for racial tension.
Mm-hmm.
Another brutally honest.
Mm-hmm. And Joe Ward, who wrote that piece, is very, you know, he grew up in Mount Greenwood. He doesn't live there now, but he writes very frankly about kind of growing up and about growing up with what he describes as a rough, quote unquote, father, a father with rough views about other races and other people. And kind of coming to terms with the racist history of his own neighborhood, but also looking for the good and looking for the people who really tried to shine a light and work to change, especially like school teachers and coaches and priests and things like that, people who were working with young people who were really trying to bring positive change to the neighborhood. And he talks about it in the context of covering, you know, an incident, a police shooting in the neighborhood. And it's good. It's honest.
Well, you know, it is honest. And I was going to say, you know, yeah, you have those stories that really kind of face reality. And then you've got some really great encouraging moments in this book as well. But you know as well as I do, when you travel outside the city of Chicago, people only associate you with the violence that
exactly.
happens here. So getting a little bit of insight, not necessarily where these violent moments occur, but kind of telling some more behind the scene stories and also telling some positive stories about the city.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want it to be terribly grim.
Yeah, right.
I liked a lot of the, there are a lot of really nice like slice of life stories in here as well that are, I think, also true and authentic to what it's like to live in certain neighborhoods. Like on the Southwest Side, the piece about Ashburn, about growing up and going to Vito and Nick's and kind of seeing the guys making pizza at Vito yeah. and Nick's as models for
yeah,
a new kind
right.
of masculinity. If by Tim Mazurek wrote that piece, and that's, I love that piece. It's just such a perfect little sketch of a moment in his life and a moment and a place in Chicago, and I just think it's great.
Okay. Near West Side, you talk about Bridgeport being the community of the future.
Well, that's Ed Marzewski, who is kind of the unofficial mayor of Bridgeport. He runs a bunch of businesses down there. He's got a lot of real estate interest down there. He's been championing Bridgeport as the community of the future for many, many years through his various media enterprises. I mean, he's an independent media mogul. So I figured I would let Ed describe his neighborhood and for the book. There's probably a little bit of conflict of interest in there because he's definitely talking about some of his own business.
Of course he is. Of course he is. But you probably
but
found
that's Chicago.
It is Chicago. I was going to say, and you probably found a lot of these people in each community. There's one or two standouts that are trying to bring that community to
yeah,
to the forefront.
But I didn't
right?
want the book to also be full of spokespeople.
Yeah.
Like I wanted,
yeah.
so it's a mix of kind of community leaders, writers, you know, people who kind of identify maybe first and foremost as writers, like Megan Steelstra or something like, who's a you know, well-known writer in town, and then sort of more up-and-coming mm-hmm. Writers or just people who had kind of interesting things to say.
You get a lot of people on the South and West Sides writing very explicitly about their experiences with racism and mm-hmm. segregation, but then mm-hmm. you get people on the North Side talking about fears of gentrification.
That was something that really came through so powerfully when I started getting all the submissions. And that was really the thing that made me kind of switch gears a little bit. Because it was not something I explicitly asked for at all. But it just was so obvious to me that the experience on the South and West Side of racism and segregation in housing and in public education was so powerful, and it's so radically shaped people's experiences and the opportunities that they have in a way that the people who are contributing work from the North Side were just, I mean, I hate to say it, but we're just not talking about, whether they're aware of it or not. They're
right.
certainly not, it's certainly not in the front of their mind. Those people on the North Side were talking about being worried about displacement, about gentrification, about being priced out of their neighborhoods, about other immigrant communities being priced out of their neighborhoods and things like that. So it's, you know, it's, I think it's a very, again, I think it's a pretty honest snapshot of what's going on in Chicago right now as we're grappling with these things.
I was going to say, it's a very contemporary book.
Yeah.
It's not a history book, but you have to talk about the history a little
bit. You can't talk
yeah.
about a Chicago neighborhood without talking about history. And there are several pieces that I think do that really well. The piece about Uptown,
yeah.
The piece about Garfield Ridge is also really great. Talks about the history of Midway Airport, which was once, you know,
yeah.
super busy hopping airport. It's not that it's not hopping now, but it had the Beatles, you know.
Right.
There's a bunch of other pieces that engage really well with history without making it a history piece.
Northwest Side, Portage Park, changing all the time. Do they know what they want to be?
I don't think so.
Yeah, right?
Portage Park is,
every few years there's a cycle.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of stuff going on there right now about what's going to happen at Six Corners. And
yeah.
I am not super well versed in what's going on at Portage Park, I have to say.
There's a lot of really good community people that
yeah.
are involved in that. I know that for a fact. And
but as the gentrification wave pushes northwest,
yeah.
you know, it's the next in line in, sure, in the eye of that hurricane. So
you do touch upon food in these stories as well. You do have to a little bit because it's indicative of the culture, yeah, in each area. Being Logan Square, and you talk about, you know, it's kind of the burger capital right now.
Well, yeah, this Nick Ward wrote this piece about working at the second iteration of Johnny's Grill, which old timers will remember that Johnny's Grill in Logan Square, right there on the square, used to be this kind of classic old school diner, Greasy Spoon, for years and years and years. It was great. And then it closed and then was reopened. I mean, they got priced out, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the space was taken over by a new restaurant group. But they kept the name and they kept calling it Johnny's Grill and tried to maintain this kind of quote unquote authentic diner ambiance.
That's cool.
The piece is about coming back to Logan Square in the middle of this wave of, foodie culture and again, gentrification and the things that have made Logan Square like such an incredibly hot, hot neighborhood now. And trying to figure out what was going on with that.
But food does kind of...
And food is, food's a marker
identifies,
of that.
It does. It, yeah, identifies the neighborhood, doesn't,
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's the I'm going to pronounce... I always pronounce Hegwich wrong. But the
that's
piece...
That's close.
I know. I just have a block about it.
Yeah.
But the piece there is all about... It's just about the day in the life of a pizzeria.
Yeah.
Called Pudgy's Pizza. And it's a profile of the owner and a profile of the place and just kind of the characters who come through. And that's great. I mean, I come from a food writing background. I spent a lot of my career as a food writer, a food editor. So I definitely think that food is a great prism to look at a lot of other things about culture.
You tell stories about Garfield Park. It's kind of a photo essay. It's actually a really beautiful piece.
It's a beautiful... Gabriel, yeah, Michael's photos are incredibly gorgeous. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at just GXM. I highly recommend that because he just takes amazing pictures of the urban landscape.
But it's a different view of a neighborhood than just talking about it. You get the sense of the neighborhood just by these tremendous photographs.
Yeah, and I don't think it's... I mean, they're often of... buildings and spaces that one would consider blighted, derelict, falling down. But I think it stays away from being, you know, ruin porn.
Yeah, right. yeah.
It's really bittersweet. He definitely looks at the city with a bittersweet eye. But some of it's really lovely. There's a great picture of the lagoon in Garfield Park it looks like a summer evening of the lights kind of, you know, golden, and you can see I'm waving my arms around to describe this, but you, yeah, can see the Sears Tower and the Loop in the background, and that to me is such an iconic image of Chicago, like the view, sure, of downtown from the neighborhoods.
From each of the, yeah, neighborhoods, absolutely. Many of these neighborhoods feel that their communities are unique and each, you know, they make up their own DNA, but most people are okay with their neighborhood changing is kind of what I learned in this, mm-hmm, as long as their little slice stays intact.
Yeah, or as long as kind of the bones of it stay the same,
right?
I think, you know, there's definitely, especially in a lot of communities on the South Side, people want change, people want investment, people want more, you know, they want a grocery store, you know, grocery stores, things like that,
yeah,
that are still hard to find. And so change is not a bad thing. Cities change all the time. I'm despite the kind of perhaps critical look that this book takes of Chicago at times, I'm not anti-change. I just think it's really interesting.
Has the book and the stories expanded your own understanding of our city?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Because it did for me.
Yeah, it definitely did for me. And I wish it could have been 500 pages long.
I was going to say not every neighborhood is featured. So is there going to be another round? Maybe?
Not immediately. I, yeah, definitely ran up against the material constraints of book publishing when, yeah, I was doing this, and a lot of stuff got left out. Sorry, Lincoln Park.
It's all good. We'll fit it in.
But one of the things I'm trying to think about right now is, the book came out 2 weeks ago, and we've done a couple of public events around it. And we have two more coming up, one at the Hop Leaf on October 1st.
Oh, cool.
And one at Rose's Lounge on October 9th. And those are going to be book readings with a bunch of contributors.
Oh,
I'm just going to plug the publishing company for a second. All the information is on the website of Belt Publishing, which is the publishing company that I work with. That's BELT, like on your pants, publishing.com. And you just go to our events tab and all the information is there.
the Chicago Neighborhood Guidebook. Great read. Martha Bain, thank you so much for joining us
this morning.
Thank
you so much.
Have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
All right. News is next on 720 WGN.